Hey, this is LaCresh Hart from Soul Fantasy Radio, and you're tuned to the Truth Brothers Radio with Ray and Devon. If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, the truth ain't in you.
Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
More like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you. Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we're the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at truthbrosradio@gmail.com. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
There you go. And we got the chat room. I'm opening it up now. And feel free to step on in there and make your comments. This is going to be a good show, so I expect a lot of comments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Should be banging today.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Living, man. Getting here. We rushing in, trying to get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, we flew in minute. Hot today.
Man. But we got a lot of good stuff coming up with for y'all today, man. I am definitely excited about the first hour, second hour for sure. Raising the Bar 3, I've been looking forward to doing this show for a minute.
Yeah, and if anybody is familiar with the show, they know we have a running series called Raising the Bar, where we're asking, why do we accept less? Why do you and I accept less, settle for less? Why don't we expect more out of our artists, actors, politicians, pastors, everybody? Yeah. Expect more.
Yeah, I mean, hold the people accountable and hold them up to a higher standard. I mean, I think the first time we did it, the first person we went in was on Tyler Perry, and that was kind of crazy. But
yeah,
it was
a little in backlash,
hindsight. Man. Yeah, in hindsight, now it was like maybe a little too harsh.
I don't think so.
It could have been, but a lot of stuff that was said during that first volume, man, was on point. Mm. I can't go against that.
I tell you what, I lay out a challenge to anybody. Let's take two of Tyler movies. The Family That Prays, I consider that a pretty decent movie.
Yeah.
The Family That Prays.
Yeah.
And maybe Why Did I Get Married? That was one of his bigger movies. I'm not even putting Madea in it.
Right.
I'm trying to put something where he just was a filmmaker.
Why Did I Get Married was good. The best shot movie to me, out of what he done, would be Good Deeds.
True.
That was
That's a better shot movie, but I think...
Right.
I think Why Did I Get Married had a little more grit to it.
It did.
A little more.
Which one? One or two?
The first one. Never the sequel. The first one.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I would say, I challenge anybody, take those two movies. Watch those two movies. Watch it with a critical eye, watching as a filmmaker.
Not a fan.
A filmmaker. And then I tell you, go to your Redbox, your video store, get Old Boy and Miracle at St. Anne, and then come back and tell me that we're too hard on Tyler Perry. If you can do that, we'll put you on the show. We can talk about it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to anybody who can say that. Because Old Boy caught me by surprise. I'm not even gonna lie.
Spike Lee tried to give him advice as a filmmaker wanting to. He was trying to raise the bar for him, saying, yeah, you've made it.
Yeah, you're in.
You're in. Now let's see you raise your game. And he backlashed on him. He said, hey, you just jealous of my success.
Yeah, and I think we said that during the first Raising the Bar, how people were saying that Spike Lee is jealous of Tyler Perry, which I was like, why?
No.
Why would he be? That man has a consistency of hit movies, and I'm shocked that nobody went to see Old Boy. Like, that is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. And it was
Miracle
at St.
Anne.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was another one. But you know what, though? Real quick,
because... When people want to talk about Tyler's critical success, the best Madea movie, whichever one it is, I know the best movie she made grossed about $90 million.
I think that was Madea Goes to Jail.
I think it was. I'm not a big fan of Madea, but I know one of her movies grossed $90 million, which is great.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about the financial success, that's fine. Tyler's best movie outgrossed, was it Inside Man, the Denzel Washington movie with the bank robbers?
Inside Man.
Inside Man. Great.
Oh, that was
$135 million.
That was another great movie.
And that was a great made film.
It shot great. The story was great. Two people were playing mind chess. It was beautiful, man. Mm-hmm. It was beautifully acted out on screen. So yeah, that's another great movie. But I still would tell anybody, man, if you have not had the chance, go see Old Boy. Just watch it on a nice Saturday. You have nothing to do. Watch the movie. Like the other day, getting into my weekend, I took the time, I think Sunday, to sit down and watch a movie called The Lone Soldier, based on the truth. Lone Survivor, right. And with Mark Wahlberg, another great movie, man. Like,
good
it was,
movie.
It was, oh, that was a
and
good
Mark
movie.
And Mark Wahlberg is a pretty decent actor. He still got slashed a little bit by the critics for his acting, but he has grown as an actor.
He showed me a lot of range. Like,
yeah.
To go from the other guys to Two Guns with Denzel to doing
the
this.
The Departed.
Oh, The Departed was off. That's my favorite
granted,
movie of all
I mean,
time.
I get what the critics are saying. He's not a bona fide actor, but
He got chops.
He works hard on his craft to be the best he can be.
Yeah. I mean, put it like this. If The Rock can go in and do what he's doing, why couldn't Mark Wahlberg? It's the same thing.
I
know.
I hear you.
It's the same. To me, it's the same thing.
He's proven he can carry a movie.
He has. To me, a lot of people overlook Contraband. That was a good movie to me that he carried by himself.
Okay.
I did see the preview for the new Rock movie, Hercules. I like the preview. I'm not even. I did
I
not want to. I wish we had that film critic we had back on.
We're gonna get I said we were gonna get another one, but the summer movie season is going and we'll be on hiatus soon.
Yeah.
We might have to do a summer movie wrap up then.
Probably.
I wouldn't mind having a geek out show, period. I would love to get some actual geeks in here, like from a comic book, like one from a comic book store, and then like another one from like a Star Wars convention or something, and sit down and just talk geek.
No, plenty of those. They got a show about that, though.
Yeah, Comic Book Man.
Yeah, they got a show about that. But, yeah, my weekend was like that, man. I pretty much chilled, watched me a couple of good movies, and kicked back, man, enjoyed myself. I saw Devils Do. Yeah.
What is that?
It was a movie that came out this January. It was trying to ride off the heels of The Last Paranormal.
Okay.
And It couldn't keep up. Yeah, because it was like, now that Paranormal did something that it was like, oh, man, that's great. Glad y'all got it back. And people was like, well, we could do something if it's shot with a handheld camera and have stuff moving.
Yeah, that first-person camera stuff is very – people think that's easy. It's not.
No, it's really not. And it's the fact that this movie was, it was bad. It was just a bad –
first-person movies are tricky, and if it doesn't make sense for someone to have the camera the whole time, it defeats the purpose.
And that's what was going
wrong.
It's
like, why
with
would
this?
You have the camera?
Right.
I ain't gonna lie. The Last Paranormal,
before this one,
yeah, walked to the edge of that line with, okay, why would you literally have a camera in this situation? But the movie did so well story-wise. You kind of let it go.
I thought you were talking about the one with the girl.
No, I'm talking about the last one with
the
dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certain scene where you're like, why the hell would you have a camera at this point?
And that's where I was in this movie, Devil's Do. Like, it was a point where he was out there and his wife. The storyline is okay. The story was okay. I get it. But it was a scene where he was like, okay, I need somebody to watch my pregnant wife who's pregnant with the devil baby. And I'm going to go across the street because this is where they're worshiping people. But I'm going to put this camera on my shirt to go across the street. Like,
now look at this. Yeah.
You wasn't even showing it to anybody. That's what's crazy. So, I guess. But,
those movies are very tricky. The first movie that shot like that was The Blair Witch Project, which they had a reason to have a fit because they were making a film. So that was the justification. Worked well. one thing they learned about making those type of movies is that movie worked great in the theater, translated to video, died because you needed that surround sound. You needed to create that environment for it to work. But they got better. But like Cloverfield, excellent. And the reason that he had the camera, because he felt it was his duty and he was a nerd.
Right.
Perfect explanation.
That does make sense. Yeah, absolutely. I do, because Cloverfield got me. Cloverfield had me.
Another lesson they learned, have the hand stabilized.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people got nauseous.
Yeah.
Because the camera's shaking.
Yeah. But they learned it. They turned it up real quick. But yeah, other than that, man, great weekend. Enjoyed myself. That was about it. I didn't do too much. I took the time to just catch up on a lot of sleep that I felt was overdue. That's what I did this weekend. I pretty much tried to catch up on sleep that was overdue.
Right. Who you shouting at?
You ain't going to bring up your weekend?
Oh, no, man. My weekend was cool. I relaxed. I was a little bit lazy. Didn't really do much around the house. I kind of relaxed. I messed around with the car for a minute and just kicked back and relaxed. I ain't going to lie. The past two weekends, I've had a ball because all I did was sit on the couch and I found old obscure movies on YouTube. Yes, people, YouTube. You can find actual movies on YouTube for free. And I had a ball, dude. I seen a movie that I hadn't saw since I was like 12 years old that I'd seen with my aunt. And back then it was like the best day ever. It's like I had the best day ever.
Right.
Seeing that movie reminded me of that day with my aunt.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite aunt in the world. And we just had this wonderful time. She took me downtown and we saw this movie called Grizzly, about this grizzly bear attacking people in the woods.
Okay.
Fun movie.
Yeah,
real fun movie. And anybody, you can put Grizzly in YouTube and see it for free. It's fun. Just a nice 70s movie.
That's what I did for the watch.
So it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. Baby's Day Out.
Yeah.
I remember. You know where they got that from? Every Popeye ever.
Yeah.
Anything with Sweet Pea. That baby was Sweet Pea.
Remember the old Tom and Jerry joint when they were sweeping?
Where they had, wherever you had a cartoon character's babysitting. And
but
Sweet Pea was the first at that.
Yeah.
But see, when he gets in the factory.
Right.
And Popeye and Olive get in trouble.
Yeah.
And it was in that press.
Yeah.
The press is going down. Popeye pulls the spinach out and the thing knocks out his hand. Mm-hmm. And Sweet Pea got to save him.
Yeah.
Twist.
Yeah. It was like 1940. I heard they're remaking that. I would love to see that.
I heard that too. But I ain't seen. The last time I heard about that, I ain't heard nothing else.
Right.
But that's where they were. It was like 2015, but I haven't heard nothing since. And that was like 2011.
See, that's what I was thinking. Like, I don't.
Because I also heard they was making a Heathcliff movie, and then I ain't hear nothing else about that.
Oh, that would be nice.
Oh man, Heathcliff was my cat.
Would be a nice. I mean, you did Garfield. Why not do Heathcliff?
Garfield didn't deserve it at all.
I don't know who did his. Wasn't that Bill Murray that did his voiceover?
Yeah, either way, that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, not Bill Murray. Bill Murray. Shouting out to a couple people, man. Shout out to Dejan and the niece. Got to shout them out. Congrats to my little nephew TJ and Ronald on graduating kindergarten again. My boy, little nephew's at a third grade level. I'm so proud of that little dude, man. That's awesome. Safe travels to my parents and my brother and my sister-in-law. They all went away for a weekend, enjoying themselves.
Nice.
To Mookie, Jossim, and Sarai. Got to say what's up to them. And we got to say what's up to Tony B. Love, Bree Love, and Hot Topics Talk Radio, and La Crush Heart and Phone Fantasy Radio.
There you go.
And the Nene and Momo Show with Nene.
Don't forget Ramon Garrett and We Love Radio.
Not all the
fam.
That's Blog Talk family there. Get well soon to Tracy Morgan, man.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That was really bad. Really bad. You heard the latest?
Last thing I heard was he was up. He was talking to his doctors and everything like that. That's the last I heard.
Okay,
about it.
The latest details is they're finding out that the truck driver had been driving for 24 hours straight
at the wheel.
And fell asleep at the wheel.
That's what I heard. I heard that this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I'm
glad he's okay. I'm sorry for the other comedian that passed. Tracy Morgan. I mean, he's an all right guy. I ain't got no real beef with Tracy.
I like Tracy Morgan for his. He seems like an original. Like he's not like nobody else. That's why it's few people like that now to me. Everybody doesn't have a mark, and Tracy is like he has a knack.
You know what's good when you got somebody who gets you. And this is Tracy Morgan said this himself on NPR. He said that he will do anything for Tina Fey because Tina Fey got him. When she was writing for Saturday Night Live, she got him. He said when she created 30 Rock, she created that and had him in mind. And, hell, that made him an icon.
Exactly.
But Tina Fey is real smart like that.
I believe that.
And she understood him and knew how to write for him.
I could believe that. I could believe that for sure.
I love Tina Fey. Tina Fey's cool.
Now that's
ever look at 30 Rock. I'm gonna tell you, a lot of people who don't like 30 Rock, I'm gonna be honest because people ain't gonna be honest. Don't like it because it's real cerebral.
Yeah.
30 Rock is cerebral as hell. Yeah. It's over the top.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be, but exactly. At the same, it's Twilight Zone-ish, but it's cerebral at the same time.
You got to think about your laugh.
A lot of inside jokes.
Yeah.
There's about 10 to 20 inside jokes on that show or episode that most people do not even get.
Like, the fact that they brought Alec Baldwin in there.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Alec Baldwin. People going to think I'm crazy for that.
No, nope, I don't. I do. If this Blog Talk career do anything like I want it to do, that's one of the people I want to be able to be seen at a dinner table with. Hanging out.
See, you'd be him. I'd want to sit down with Seth MacFarlane. That'd be me too.
I know, I'm just saying. That's on the list.
Yeah, if we sit me with Seth. List,
but at the same time, Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to be on the Daily Show.
Now, I heard that, what's his name? Host of the Daily Show is supposed to be taking over for, not Leno,
No, not the Daily Show. You're talking about the Colbert Report.
Yeah,
Stephen Colbert is taking over for the Tonight Show. Right.
Yeah.
Letterman.
Letterman. That's it. That's what I heard. Okay. So, either. And you know who they wanted to put in there, though? I thought it wouldn't work. Old girl from the Crazy Girl. They got the Late Night Show. Late Night.
The one on Comedy Central. Oh, the E! Network.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
She's not that good to me.
She's all right. She tries to be what Silverman is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't and that work. Don't work.
Yeah, exactly. But real quick before we switch over to DJ's B Days, gotta say up to what's up to Mama and Nikki Turner, man. Lost their grandmother this earlier. And it hit a lot of people, hit me hard because I knew the lady was like took me in a lot of times. Not took me in as it took me in, but it's like she's what Tracy Morgan said about Tina Fey.
Right, she gets
she got me. And a lot of people, I was a weird kid. Like, I'm still kind of weird. But she was one of them people who got me, and it hit me hard because it caught me way off guard. And, I'm going to miss her. Love her. And love y'all, man. Catch y'all in a few. But for DJs, B-Days, Santrice Turner, Tev White, Renito Donaldson, June Porter, LaShez Odom, and my boy Brandon Bonadart.
All right.
What's going on, bro? Love y'all. Happy birthday from the Truth Brothers.
Cool. And I know this took a little longer than normal. We're going to go into a break. We're going to come back into the terrible truth. And I'm not going to say how funny it's going to be, but it's going to be a lot of time to make you think. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Hello, this is Tony Breedlove of Hot Topic Talk Radio. You can find us here on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 11 o'clock Central, and 12 o'clock on the East Coast. We also invite you to find us on Facebook under Hot Topic Talk Radio and on Twitter at Hot Topic with TV. For additional information on Hot Topic Talk Radio, as well as our sister station, HGLB Radio Las Vegas, for continuous play of R&B, jazz, hip-hop, rap, and highlighting some of the most talented independent artists around the world, head on over to our website at www.hottopictalkradio.com. Hot Topic Talk Radio, where it's real people, real issues, real talk. Now, back to Truth Brothers Radio.
Thank you. Truth Brothers Radio.
This is The Terrible Truth, with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Greetings and salutations. This is Kent Clark of The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by Bobby Christina's other brother lover, Rubbers. For when your almost adopted brother looks too damn good.
There you go. And Rosie O'Donnell, front hole panties. Sitters are quitters by Rosie.
Now, over the weekend, you guys might have heard of a pastor named Jamal Bryant, who used the popular Chris Brown song "Loyal," where in the lyrics Chris Brown says these hoes ain't loyal. Well, the pastor used it, and women responded to pastor, and these women responded with an uproar. So I'm going to read the story from title down, people, and we also have a clip later on. So hang on, and we want you guys to listen to it. Women respond to Pastor Jamal Bryant's sermon reference, "These Hoes Ain't Loyal." Maryland Pastor Jamal Bryant quoted a Chris Brown song during a recent sermon saying, "These hoes ain't loyal," and women everywhere made a collective groan of disgust. According to Pastor Leslie Callahan of St. Paul Baptist Church, however, this wasn't even the worst part of Bryant's offensive sermon. Callahan joined Huffington Post Live Mark Lamont Hill, along with guest assistant pastor Tamora A. Lomax, assistant professor Brittany Cooper, and political activist Will Mega, to discuss Bryant's sermon. Quote, "The issue for me is that when you take risks in a sermon, two things are required," Callahan says. "The first thing is the risk should be in service of some message." Ooh, we got to get to this sermon. "The second thing is when you take those risks and you have to be open to the reality that what you're trying to do might not actually work. In addition to the confusing nature of sermon's message, many found the language to be sexist and derogatory. These sort of frame, and we're saying this, people, because we actually heard the sermon first. This sort of frame that he gives, Cooper says, is a frame in which women are framed as the enemy." Excuse me while I choke that down. Mega had a different view on the sermon, however. Bryant is saying, Mega argues, you are stuck in the world, and if you want to get into the right place with God, you need to listen to the anointed woman of God and leave these hoes alone. What do you think? Was Brian's comment sexist, or do you agree with Mega? The reason why I'm saying that, people, is because we have a clip.
And let's go ahead. Real before we play the clip, this clip is a little bit long, but remember, his sermon was over an hour long.
Uh-huh.
All we tried to do was try to put it in the context to which he was serving it.
Put it on the
this
scale.
Has nothing. This, you know how we go in on church.
Exactly.
So take it for what it is. And after we play it, we'll go into a break. After we play it, we'll come back, 818-514-1202, and we'll talk about it.
Now, again, this is Pastor Jamal Bryant's sermon, where he quoted the Chris Brown song, "These Hoes Ain't Loyal."
"Come. So now we come to churches that are just feminized with a church full of women, but you got a mosque full of men. It says that men are not that they are not spiritual, but they want a place of discipline and order and focus. Men do not want to come to church just for an emotional outpour of turn to your neighbor without giving me any instruction, any direction, or any information. Men are thinkers where women are feelers. Y'all are getting ready to miss this here. It does not say that women do not think, but women are more emotional than men are. So a lot of neo-Pentecostal churches miss the move of God because they suggest if you are not shouting and screaming, you are not spiritual and you are not saved. That is not true. When it is that Jesus taught on the mountainside, men weren't running around shouting and lifting up hands, but they made up in their mind, when I leave out of here, I'm going to do different from my business, do different from my family, do different from my community. But because we have westernized our worship experience, everybody want to shout and sashay because we made the church comfortable for men not to be men, but to be sanctified sissies. So it says to us, how is it that you get to a place that I can love God but no longer be a man? But God says, I'm raising up real men that understand I do not have to disavow my masculinity in order to embrace my spirituality. I know y'all don't like it, but I'm not supposed to be politically correct. I'm supposed to be biblically correct. And when you know the word of God, you understand there's a destroy our black men. When they cannot destroy black men, watch this, the next target is to go after black women. Let me see if I can help you very carefully. So the fastest growing prison population is no longer black men. The fastest growing prison population is young black girls between the ages of 18 and 35, not for violent charges, y'all ain't talking back to me, but for refusing to testify against their men. They figured out, if I can't get the men, let me arrest the baby mama, let me arrest the kids, y'all ain't talking back to me, let me arrest whoever lives in the house. Well, if that is true, why does your investigation only stop at Green Mount but doesn't go to Green Spring? That there's got to be something that suggests the law has got to be empirical. Look at your neighbor, say they're after our daughters. And so you'll notice the attack now has shifted on young black girls. So we've got a greater sense, watch this, we have a greater number of young black lesbians than we do of young black male homosexuals. Y'all ain't talking back to me. And they're becoming younger and younger. In the 8th grade, in the 6th grade, in the 9th grade. But I came to tell the devil, you are a liar. You will not be able to hold our daughters back. Every sister, just elbow another sister. He should have listened. Every brother, would you tap another brother and say, I should have listened to her. God help me. Old saints, y'all forgive me. But I got to tell you, these hoes ain't loyal. You got to find somebody. All right, be seated, please. Okay. Be seated. All right, I gotta go. Pilate, watch this. Pilate lives in conflict. Why? Pilate is living in conflict because he washes his hands, watch this, and then signs the death certificate. He could have put a curve, watch this, on the whole movement of woman suffrage. Women could have got the right to vote earlier. Y'all ain't talking back to me. They could have had the right to own property sooner. If he, in that one moment, would have listened to what the woman of God spoke over his life, trying to help him. It was of no benefit for her. She just wanted to see him in his rightful place with God. Y'all ain't talking back to me. You done found the right one when they are not, y'all ain't talking back to me, into your car, your clothes, or your income, but they got a desire to see you in the will of God. That's when you know you found somebody who's anointed.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm the alpha with no omega, beginning with alpha and so plaza. Outside or extended version, next episode will be smooth as a Persian. Rhymes everlasting, there'll be no part two. Knowledge is infinite, once I start to draw a better picture for your third eye. If you're blind, you know, with a mic, I'm a black Michelangelo. I'm the brother who ideas are colorful, giving them insight, but giving them trouble to comprehend, cause their thoughts won't blend in. They're pretending while I'm extending, you bite like a parasite.
Truth Brothers Radio.
If you don't have an iPhone, I'd ask you what's wrong with you, but I already know. You're poor. Or a loser. Or a person who doesn't care about technology. Which means you're either poor or a loser. We didn't even make this commercial to sell you an iPhone. We made it to mock you for being one of the have-nots. We are the Sneetches with stars upon thars, and you are one of the regular Sneetches. If you don't have an iPhone, honestly, good. In your face. If you don't have an iPhone, frankly, go fuck yourself.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Whatever it takes to make it hardcore.
Keep the record rolling. Ain't nobody cold when we ready.
Whatever it takes to make it hardcore.
Our true soldier, riding with a soldier. Yeah, we can.
Whatever it takes to make it hardcore.
Keep the record rolling. Can't nobody hold the spot we claim.
Whatever it takes to make it hardcore. Whatever it takes to make it hardcore. Whatever it takes to make it hardcore. Whatever it takes to make it hardcore.
Keep the record rolling. Can't nobody hold the spot we claim.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. We're back and we're talking about raising the bar, and we're getting into what this pastor just said when he quoted from the what's that?
Chris Brown.
Chris
song.
Brown song, These Hoes Ain't Loyal, or Loyal, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm the lady in the article Mecca. Had a lot of problems with what.
Well, not Will Mecca, the other lady.
Yeah. She had a lot of problems with what the man seemed to have to say. Now, we tried to pull and put into context what this guy was saying, of course, using his clips. His sermon was like an hour long. We can't play everything,
right.
So we've got to try to frame his intentions as best we can. 818-514-1202, that's the number. If you feel like we've got it wrong or you feel like he was going somewhere else with it, call in, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook. People be hitting us up on Facebook, too.
So yeah, I'm definitely keeping the
eye on. Okay, cool.
Keeping
so just give us
on
your
our
comment,
Facebook page.
Hit us on the email, get in this chat room, or call us up. But me, myself, didn't have too much of a problem with what the guy had to say.
No, not at all. I thought that, I didn't get a couple of things where I can't miss Callahan was saying that his comments were sexist. I didn't find him to be sexist. I found like when the one thing to me that would eliminate that is he's saying, look, they're trying to take our daughters.
Yeah.
How is that sexist?
Yes. And he said that women are emotional and men are more analytical. And he clarified it to say, I'm not saying that women don't think. That's not what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm saying that you guys tend to be too emotional and men. And that's why. And what the point he was making was that's why men ain't coming to the church. And he said there's more brothers in the mosque than there is in the church. That's true.
Yes.
More men flock to the Nation of Islam than they do to the regular American westernized
Baptist,
Christian church.
Yeah, Baptist church. Absolutely.
There's actual men feel like, yeah, no, I can identify more with the nation and what Minister Farrakhan is saying
right.
as far as manliness and what it takes about being a man standing on your own 2 feet and handling your business,
mm-hmm.
than I do with these pastors walking around, like he say, chasseing around.
Yeah.
Now, for clarification, dude didn't do much for me.
No.
Watching the video,
yeah.
I'm not going to his church.
Absolutely not.
But that don't mean that he didn't have some truth into what he said.
Absolutely.
His delivery ain't my style. But I can't knock the message that he was
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
I can't knock it.
You got to peel the layers back and hear what somebody is saying.
Right.
The man made great points. Like, again, we go in on religion all of the time, mostly structured religion. I have a problem with that. But the fact that this man, regardless of, they say you can learn something from anybody.
There you go.
That man had truth in what he was saying. Regardless of how you look at it, like, I don't have to agree with his ideas. I don't have to go play ball with the dude or nothing. But what he's saying made absolute sense. So how can I, trying to be a logical person, disagree with what that man said? It, to me, seemed to be logic. The man absolutely said, look, this is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And with the feminizing the men, and you, the people who don't like what he said, see, that's what's crazy. You got people who don't like what he said as far as the Chris Brown thing, but will see everything he's saying happening out there on the streets.
True.
But will not just say, okay, he was right by what he said.
True. And I think the these hoes ain't loyal punchline was a little muddled. I think it was a little muddled. But all the points he drew up before that, he was dead on point.
Absolutely.
I think the point he was trying to make with Pontius Pilate and his wife and all of that, I think that got a little off kilter, because I don't know what Pontius Pilate listening to his wife and not executing Jesus would bring about the women's suffrage earlier, or bring about their right to vote earlier.
I didn't
see
get
a correlation to that.
I didn't get that offhand. I would say I didn't. I wanted to say that it would have to do with rules. I guess it sounds stupid.
Yeah, I guess that one. Yeah, he lost me with that one. I think after he dropped these hoes ain't loyal, I think he struggled to get back on track.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Absolutely.
That's just my opinion. But the points that he made about the fastest growing jail population, we did this show.
Exactly.
We did this with It's Femininity Dead. We did this show about girls being more and more aggressive, being more and more masculine, and the boys being more and more feminine.
Yeah,
we went into this.
Absolutely.
We've been saying this.
But I didn't understand, because the Huffington Post took a panel of women, and majority of the women were sitting there like, yeah, only one woman said, no, hey, his message was on point. And that was, I think that was a dude, actually. Was it Will Mega? I think that was his name, Will Mega. And he was the only one who said, no, listen to what he's saying. And it's true. You see these dudes out here wearing the tight jeans, wearing skirts, and it's like,
yep.
It's like you see
that
everything.
Show.
Yeah, we did all of that.
Did that show. Matter of fact, what kind of bothers me is how everybody went in on Lord Jamal for what he was saying on Vlad TV, but you couldn't argue the point. When he gave you the timeline and about how Kanye starting to wear skirts rolls with him becoming more and more dominant in the music industry, and how his ego grown in terms of his popularity and being more daring to try new things at the expense of black men's minds.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue with that. He said, I don't hate Kanye West.
Right.
He's like, I like him. He's a great producer.
Yeah.
He said that. He didn't make it personal.
Right.
He tried to be as analytical as possible. And he also tried to say, this is just my opinion.
Exactly. That's what bothers me about people. You know, I said something a long time ago that seemed to piss a lot of people off. But I said, it's funny. The thing about opinions is everybody, it's not that people don't like your opinion. They just don't like that your opinion isn't their opinion. And it seems like as long as you agree with what somebody else is saying, then your opinion matters. They want to hear it. Everything's cool. But the minute you have an opinion that's contrary to what they believe, it's that. Oh, well, that's stupid. Why would it be that? I mean, it's just an opinion. That's all it is. It doesn't hurt you. So why do you care so much about a person's opinion?
Right.
It's just Lord Jamal's opinion of what he thinks. Now, for you to go in knowing, though, like, okay, I feel a certain way about that dude, going to affect me, when his opinion could save your life. His opinion could keep your son from wearing dresses. And you want to, because of your personal issues with this man.
Right. Exactly.
You're going to let his opinion affect your life
as
well.
Exactly. And if you look at some of the reactions on YouTube, they tried to call him a homophobe. And he went out of his way to say, no, I'm not a homophobe, but I don't agree with the way this movement is going and what I'm seeing in terms of how it's impacting young males.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people went in because he had something to say about these artists, but no one could take apart when he was trying to break down historically. Mm-hmm. When he broke down the fashion in hip-hop, starting with Grandmaster Flash and them,
right?
And he said, I had a problem. I like the music.
Right.
It was Soul Sonic Force. See, I like the music, but I'm not feeling the dress. And he was right. He said the dress was coming more from the funk movement at the time.
Right.
Parliament, Funkadelic, Bootsy Collins,
right.
And Earth, Wind, and Fire. Everybody in the 70s, these big bands was wearing these elaborate clothes.
Flamboyant type gear.
Flamboyant clothes that glitter on stage.
Right.
And he was like, I see it. I don't like it. And look at the early Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. They look like the Village People.
I saw that.
They look like a street level village. I'm not saying that they were homosexual.
Right, right.
But I'm saying they did. They had this outlandish dress because that was the style. And like you say, it didn't change until Run DMC came along and said that we're about to blow up, not wearing this no more. We wearing these sweatsuits and we wearing, like you say, they're wearing what they wore in the streets.
Right.
And he says, basically, you say we're wearing what the drug dealers are wearing. Not that we're glamorizing drug dealing, but we're glamorizing the dudes that's making the fashions in the hood hot.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people might take offense at that. I need people to think, what's the best-selling vehicles in the world today? SUVs.
Really?
SUVs are hot.
I would have thought like a sports car.
No, SUVs was SUVs was carrying the American car market since like the 90s, just before the economy collapsed.
Okay.
Explorers, Expeditions,
right.
Escalade.
Yeah, you're right.
They were setting the style.
Right.
Where did that come from? People don't get in 85, 86, 87, drug dealers were buying Tahoes and Blazers. At the time, the Tahoe and Blazers were only being sold to farmers and cowboys. They would buy the trucks, they would take them, trick them out, put them on the street. And everybody was like, that's hot. Then everybody, it started off, everybody was getting Blazers and Explorers.
Mm-hmm.
Blazers got hot. Remember the Michael Jordan special edition Blazer? Mm-hmm. Why did they have a Michael Jordan special edition Blazer? They've only had two Michael Jordan cars ever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The IROC when he was, a rookie, just starting to blow up, and the Blazer when he started winning championships. Remember it had the NBA championships on the design and all of that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because that's what was hot in the street.
In the back.
Yeah.
That
was what was hot in the street.
Right.
And that all started. Drug dealers changed that. Not telling you to be a drug dealer, not glorifying a drug dealer. That's just a fact.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, it makes total sense. I'm curious as to why. Now, call me crazy, but is it the fact that the religious groups or whatever felt as if the man used, how do I want to say, the man used
pop culture
in the church? Now, if that's the case, my question would be, then why do you have your Fred Haftons in the church, your Kirk Franklin's in the church, your Mary Mary's in the church? All of those are... All of those require we go right back to pop music, R&B music, the same type of thing. So why are you mad at this man for saying these hoes ain't loyal?
He's not the first pastor to ever use a pop culture reference to stir a sermon.
No.
And Minister Farrakhan is my guy. I've heard Minister Farrakhan use a pop culture reference many a day to draw a point home.
Exactly.
It gets the crowd going.
Because.
It makes him look relevant.
Exactly. I was at my grandmother's house a long time ago. Craziness. This is Grace and grandmother we were talking about. But I was with her one day, and she was all up in arms because she said that one of her pastors said, you know, this Holy Ghost will make you jump. They think Chris Cross will make you jump, but the Holy Ghost will. But see, it's the same thing. It's like, maybe the times have changed, and I guess because he used the word hoes, maybe that's just
many a pastor used the word hoes.
Yeah,
I know many a pastors that like hoes.
I know many a pastors that's out there that are hoes.
Okay,
so it doesn't make sense. I mean, you want a pastor to be this holy guy that he's not. You want him to be a person who is above the cloth, and he's not. He's an actual human being. He breathes air. He drinks water. What makes you think that he's going to be any different from you? Anything you've heard, you got to believe that pastor heard. Anything you've seen, that pastor seen. So why are you like, oh, my God, he said these hoes ain't loyal?
When you'll sit there in your car
and sing it that Saturday before you went to church. You were dancing to it at the club the Saturday before you went to church. So the pastor said, it's, oh, no, not here. We won't do this in here. And I've had somebody tell me, see, it's a place and a time for everything. True. But you can't say, I wouldn't go in a club. I can't go in a church using club slang, just like I can't go in a club using church slang.
Yeah, but they do it all day.
It happens every time.
All day.
Girl, I'm finna get fined to go to church.
And talking about raising the bar, what the man said, he said he's trying to bring something that's different than what the regular church is bringing, shouting at you, throwing the handkerchief around, acting like a damn fairy. When he said, I'm trying to bring something that will, when men come out of there, and basically, I'm sorry, he was basically referencing the Nation of Islam. I'm
going
to just be honest. The whole time was a reference to the Nation of Islam. When he said that men come out of there and say, man, I want to do better for my business. I want to do better for my family. I want to do better for my community. Go to a Savior's Day and see if you don't come out of that with those ideas in your head.
Yeah.
Just being honest. Not saying that the Christian church don't do it.
Absolutely.
I just know what he was referencing.
Yeah.
I know who he was tipping the hat to.
Yeah, because that's a, you know what? It's crazy. I sit back. It's a dude I listen to almost every morning on my drive to work, Steve Harvey. Not everybody's a fan of Steve Harvey. I'm iffy with the dude. But, see, I can separate what Steve Harvey does and what he says because deep down the dude is about family. He's about structure. He's about manhood. He's about certain things that I can identify with. No, because he goes in about how that man. I'm sorry.
I thought the ding was coming. Yeah. Because I was weighing what you were saying.
The man.
And I'm not no big fan.
Right, exactly.
But you didn't lie.
Because the man has a thing where he has a mentoring camp for boys and teaching them, boys who have single mothers, raising them. He says, know what? Give them to us, do blah, 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 blah. We'll teach them the story, the path of manhood, how to build things, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He does that.
I'll give you that.
He also takes time, and like he goes in about how he treats his own sons and how, yes, there is a difference on how he treats his sons versus how he treats his daughters. He'll tell you that because it's certain things about man that he just identifies with.
Can't even argue with that. Not a big fan. Not a fan of the morning show that much. His comedy is cool. He's a great stand-up comedian.
He's all right.
Writing a book, think he plagiarized it. I really do. Sorry, that's my opinion.
It is.
But he is. I can't say that he ain't a square, straight-up man,
though.
I can't say that.
I can disagree
with some of the way he do things, but I can't knock his hustle,
yep.
And I can't knock how he moves through the world.
That's
can't knock that.
That's what men can see in men. I don't have to like everything about that dude. I don't have to agree with everything that man says. But a man will respect man move.
Yep.
He's making man move.
And someone tried to have me watch the beef between him and Cat Williams and was talking about that this beef that they had, and they had a laugh off in Detroit or something. And they were showing me stuff. And I'm going to tell you what I saw. Not a big fan of both of them, really. But what I saw was Steve Harvey give his stand-up, and he was respectful to Cat Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't playing the dozens. He was doing his stand-up
right,
and doing his thing. And Cat Williams came out and gave a knuckle show.
Indeed.
And signified and made and gave a knuckle show. And ever you try to come out head up and try to bring knowledge and respect, and someone's being ignorant, ignorance is always going to get the masses, the sheeple. Sheeple will always react to the lowest common denominator.
You know, that is such
put
a
Put KRS-One and Snoop Dogg in a room talking about drugs and watch where the crowd go.
Depends on who's in the crowd. So, yeah.
Sheeple.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then, yeah, you already know. Put a room full of 85ers in there, and KRS-One is going to give you facts.
Yeah.
He's going to try to tell you something, but he, you know, I don't know what his opinions will actually be. But he's going to try to give you something
gonna
to grow
Snoop,
on.
Because Snoop going
to
be like,
Snoop
man,
gonna be
forget
on
all
legalized
that. Weed
is
fun. Weed is
exactly.
fun. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And that's not knocking anybody who smokes. That, hey, again, your choice.
Talk about hoes. KRS-One, Snoop Dogg, talking about hoes. Women will draw to Snoop Dogg. And he's talking about putting them in chains. And they'll draw the same
women that went against Pastor Brian here.
Yes, sir.
Will be like, well,
yes,
Snoop
sir.
Has a point with what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
Some women need to be treated such ways.
Yes, sir.
But when the man,
ladies, I'm just being 818-514-1202. We started raising the bar early, so we're just going to keep this rolling. Don't even worry. We got plenty of stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Call in, give us your piece. But I'm going to be honest. Check out any Cat Williams show. When Cat Williams talking about pimping and hoes, and watch the ladies react. If I talk about respecting you, if I talk about loving you, if I talk about being romantic with you, I'm a lame. If I talk about smacking you, if I talk about dissing you, you'll love me forever.
And that's something I find to be very intriguing. Like, why... It's the same, like, I've been having this conversation with certain women, and I've been asking, like, you have a man, but you say men ain't shit. And you say men ain't shit. Why do you have a man? And because my common sense would say, look, I don't like tomatoes. I hate tomatoes. I'm not going to get tomatoes on my burger because I hate tomatoes. Men ain't whatever. Men are dogs. All men are dogs. Why would you keep a Rottweiler in your house?
Right.
It just don't make sense to me.
Right.
Like, that's something I don't understand. Like, I can say I have a person I'm with that literally gets on my nerves. She does. But at the same time, I can't say women ain't. I've been close. I've been real close to saying, ooh, y'all all. And I've been
there. You know what it is most intelligent people, there's a conversation where you can talk about the collective.
Exactly.
And then there's a conversation where you can talk about the individual. If you want to talk about a demographic in the collective, then you tend to paint with a broader brush. He was saying about the fastest growing population going to jail is black women.
True.
This is true. This isn't to say all women are thugs and going to jail.
Right.
But it is saying something about women aggressiveness and what's going on in this society about the feminization of black men.
Do you call it feminization, or do you call it like men just like, you know what, I'm going to just – because I know a lot of times It seems to me, or it seems
yeah,
that...
I'm not talking about men reacting to an aggressive female. I think that's where you're going.
It's like
no, I was just talking about the feminization of men, period. What was it, 2 months ago I gave the story about going in the coach bag?
Yeah.
And we went in, and we're in the men's part of coach, and they're selling this bag, and it's a giant purse. It's a giant purse.
Yeah.
And it was for men. That's the feminization, the bitch assness of men. And they're trying to make men into bitch asses.
I mean, the fact that, you know, you got your dude, Young Fly Red, who gave you Throw That Boy Pussy, and it's a video, and it's out, and dudes are watching it, and it's dudes dancing, and everybody is like, let him be him. I mean, and again, it's nothing against that man.
There's nothing wrong with let him be him.
But
if you want to watch that, have at it. It doesn't mean that I want it played on GCI.
That's my point.
It doesn't mean because you like it, because you feel that it's great. It doesn't mean that I want it played at my child's prom.
That's my point. That was my, what you just said was my whole point that I was getting to. I don't think that it's fair that, I think we even talked about this, that we're letting the choice be left up in the air to our children on if they want to be gay or not.
Let them, I meant period. Oh, let the kids be kids. You know how these kids are. This is part of the problem. We're not setting an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not setting a bar to tell them, this is where you got to be in order to do it. We say, oh, you know what? So what, he fails everything. Buy him a car anyway.
Mm. And, oh,
I know somebody.
Okay.
I got a friend. She has a son. She did not want this boy to have a car. Was dead set against it. Said he's too immature.
Okay.
She knows her son.
I can believe
Grandparents said, nah, F that. Here's a car. Happy birthday. Didn't check with her. Nothing. Here's a car. 3 months into having the car, one day he came home covered in blood and glass, where him and his friend was doing rodeo tricks in the car.
Because it's fun.
And ran through, I don't know if they was in an abandoned factory or they were in some type of lot with debris and got to playing too hard, and he fell out of the car.
And then?
Fell out of the car. And now for me, that's my kid, and my parents did that. First of all, if my parents did that, I'm snatching the keys and saying, you're not getting a goddamn thing until you can show me that you're ready for this.
Right.
I don't care what your grandma and grandpa said. Your grandma and grandpa can kiss my ass. This is my house, and I run this.
Makes sense to me. If I say
you're not ready, you're not ready.
But that's
the level, because today there's a lot of parents who still act like children to their parents. There's a certain point where you're supposed to tell your parents, whoa. I got this. I'm me. I got this. It's my house. It's my thing. And parents are supposed to recognize that and start treating your children like peers and not like children.
Exactly.
But when you feel that you know more, then if you don't agree with how the parents is raising them, that doesn't necessarily give you carte blanche to overrule them or undermine them.
Indeed.
You may not agree. You might be a Christian. And your daughter might marry a man who's a Muslim, and he decides that he wants to raise his children as Muslims, and the wife is supportive of that. You may not like it, but that's not for you to undermine. Mm-hmm. You find the principles where you guys can agree,
right?
And you leave it at that. Yes, that means you can't put any more chitlins on the kids' plate. Yes. That means that they might have to stop in the middle of the cookout to go pray. Might mean that. Respect it.
Yeah,
respect it.
That's totally. And you know what? It's crazy that you mentioned that, man. I'm sitting here and I was watching a show. I don't know. I can see it. I was up yesterday watching this show with the girl, and we was watching Teen 16 and Pregnant, something like that, whatever, one of them shows.
There's
right?
another show that raises the bar real nice.
Oh, yeah. Get Pregnant 16, get on TV. But no, here's what's crazy and what happened, right? The girl, you know the show is made basically around the girl, right? Bam. Mm-hmm. Girl gets pregnant by a guy. Mm-hmm. The parents, mom, biological mother, stepfather, right? In-house, heavy Christians, right? The man, the boy gets the girl pregnant. He says, okay, cool, she's pregnant. You know, he wants to be there. They lift. They have a rule now. After 10 o'clock, he has to go, right?
Doesn't sound unreasonable to me.
It does not. Here's what's crazy. He can't be there when I'm not there. Sounds great, right?
Not hurting me.
The boy wants to be in his new daughter's life. Daughter, never forget, daughter's name was Lena. The boy works during the day, off at night. Right? The girl, now and he is not too far, about 40 minutes away, whatever, right? So he was getting off of work one time. It was about 4-ish. He calls her and say, hey, I haven't seen my daughter in a few days because of the new rule. I haven't seen my daughter in a few days. Can I come see her? Mom says, no, I'm not there.
I was going to tell you to set it up for a cliffhanger because we need to go into the second hour.
Oh, well, we could definitely do that. I want to get back into what the mom said when we come back.
Cool.
But this has something to do with raising the bar,
yes,
too.
It does.
But we'll be right back, man. We got to take a real, real, really quick break. We'll be right back. More Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila!
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we're the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818
514-1202.
And don't forget to press the number one to join the conversation. Also, you guys can leave us your questions, comments, and show ideas at truthbrosradio@gmail.com. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
Yeah, the chat room is wide open and the queue is wide open. Come on in. Make your comments. We're talking about raising the bar. We started off with the pastor who dropped the, what's his name?
Jamal Bryant.
There you go. With, and he dropped the pop reference of These Hoes Ain't Loyal in one of his sermons, and people didn't seem to have a problem with that, but they didn't seem to get the meat of his message. So we played a little bit and asked you guys what you think. You were talking about 16 and pregnant, and go ahead and finish that.
Yeah, I actually was bringing up, like I said, to summarize what I said prior to the break was, this guy, he gets a sick, of course, gets a 16-year-old girl pregnant. They have rules at the house that now, before then, the girl can't have, he can't be over there before 10, he can't be over there anytime after 10 or when the parents are not home, though the boy has
Don't
a daughter
want you
with
make
the
it
girl.
A second one.
Yeah, that could be it too. Now, here's my issue with the situation, right? The guy who has the kid was like, "Look, I'm not trying to have any more kids. I just want to spend time with my daughter." This is the boy who's saying it. "I can't see her when I'm at work, and nobody's here. You guys are going or whatever. And by the time you guys get home, I'll just be able to make it there. I'm asking for like maybe a few hours, at least out of a day." Now,
doesn't sound unreasonable to me.
The parent says no, because the Christian in them was like, "No, you guys went against God's rule, so you have to suffer the consequences of what happened." Now, this is
what is God's rule?
Well, having sex before marriage. Now,
Adam and Eve had sex before marriage.
Well, God didn't know about
sex before marriage. To God.
Yeah. How
she
about that?
She boned God. Just saying.
That's great.
Just saying. Abraham had sex with his housewife. I mean, the housekeeper.
You're going to make me.
Alice. He hit Alice. Did he not hit Alice?
Before the bath.
Was Sarah barren? Was Sarah not able to make a baby? And God said, "You know what? Hit Alice."
But see,
that ran the last cue just emptied out.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough.
Yep, you guys are getting too real. Look, what's absolutely crazy is I was sitting, like I said, as I was sitting there watching that, and I'm sitting here and I'm watching the whole thing play out with this boy is with passion and everything is saying to these people.
I want to be a man to my daughter.
I just want to see my daughter. And now it got to the point where the mother, because at this point, I'm expecting the father to say, "Look,
he's a man.
He's a man. He just wants time with his daughter. Maybe we could figure something out. Even if we're here at 10 o'clock, they have it if we're
Let
here
him
or not.
Spend the night.
He can't spend the night.
You sleep in the den
with the baby. That's what I said, right? What's crazy is.
Look, they've already boned.
It's going to happen.
That train done left the station. It's gone.
Literally.
You think you're going to stop more boning? They boned under your nose to begin with.
Numerous of times.
So if you think that that's going to stop, well, we've got these rules. That'll stop all the boning. No.
But what got me was it was the mother. It was the mom of the girl who kept saying, "No, it's not happening. You won't do this." So now it's almost like you're forcing your daughter to raise this daughter, raise her daughter on her own.
You're trying to make a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
So when he says, "All right, that's it. Guess I might as well go deadbeat."
It was already rubbing off. It was already rubbing off because the man was like, "Look, okay, I can't come to your house. Why can't I just get her and she can come to my house?"
No,
and spend the night?
No.
I'm not ready
you
for her to come outside.
You might drive your Camaro too fast.
Her rule was, it's cold outside. They live
too
in Tennessee.
Cold for you.
They live in Tennessee. And then the girl said, she was like, "Look, why don't we meet up for lunch so we could talk?" He was like, "If you're going to meet up for lunch, you're going to take her outside anyway. So why not just Take her outside, bring her to my house, or I'll come get y'all.
What his parents got to say?
They didn't get it to
MTV don't care about that.
They didn't get it to his parents.
MTV was probably, be honest, MTV was probably prodding the mom to mad reaction that she had.
But, oh, guess what?
You know what's good for the ratings? You're telling him no.
I'm watching the show with somebody. He's gay. Look at how he sits.
Why don't he slap the hell out of everybody?
He
kiss on the mother.
Because when the man, and then the boy who got man juice in him one day, he sat down with them. He's like, look, after the first one didn't go well, he sat down. Father wasn't there. The stepfather, mother was there. He was like, look, I'm getting irritated with the situation. The man approached her like a man and said, look, this is my daughter. I'm getting irritated with the situation.
Believe
she
it or
said,
not, he has rights.
She says, by
he?
Irritating with the...
Does he have rights?
He should. But he only has rights to the check come.
That's right.
But he says to her, she says to him about irritated in situation, what you mean? You mean with me? Boy said, yes, I'm irritated with you. With all due respect, the boy says after everything
he's
went down,
16 years old.
With all due respect, ma'am, you are the reason I'm not able to see my daughter. Like I'm supposed to.
And if you don't think MTV prodded him up to say something, if you think, hey, with all due respect, ma'am, it's too nice.
Yeah.
Look, this is MTV, dog. You should be saying, with all due respect, bitch.
Yep.
I'm
taking my daughter. Neither one of y'all. And it's crazy because the fact that he said, I was looking at this dude like, he's better than me. He's a lot better than me. But, again, the brother sitting there, he's just talking to her like, yo, with all due respect, ma'am, I feel, not you should, I feel as if.
No one asked you what you feel, boy.
You shouldn't, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's when he's looking at, now at this point, he's turning to the mother of his daughter and saying, I need something. Give me something to work with. She's like. Well, it's my mom and...
Sorry, I'm 16 and pregnant. I don't want to get grounded again.
Now, the boy's like, look, I'm going to save... He was like, well, if he told the mother, you don't have to do that. I mean, if cool, this your rule, you're right. This is your house. I won't. But I'm saving up enough money. I'm close to getting my own apartment. When I do...
Granted, this is Tennessee.
Oh,
ain't that hard.
Yeah.
Apartments are $20 a month.
That's
all the roaches you can kill.
Just good enough, though, to him to say, you know what? That's enough for my family for
I
now.
Got one half a trailer, and at the end of the year, I'm going to have the other half weld them two together.
We're going to be living. The mother says, you can't take the daughter or the child anywhere because if you do, she's still under 18. I'm coming to get them.
Unfortunately,
that's not fair to that man and that
no,
baby.
No, it's not. It's not respectful, nor is it fair. It's not respectful, nor
and
is it fair.
And the whole time, I'm in my head, I'm like, this 16-year-old boy got more balls than her stepdad. Because her stepdad should have been came down there like, look,
that's enough.
As a man, that's
he can
it.
Stay with me.
Yeah.
He can hang here with me. Look, you know me.
Yes, I do.
You know me, sir.
Yes, I do.
And I wouldn't have it. But if I seen that boy make a stand like that, I would be moved. I would be touched and say, hey, we can work this out.
And that's it.
We see anybody standing. The boy made a mistake. He's trying to pay for his mistake and be a man about it. You do not destroy that. He could have broke.
He could have.
He could have broke.
It's easy to break at 16. Very easy.
He could have broke. He could have went up into the. He could have went back further up into the mountains of Tennessee and started mining, and just
blew it all out. Blew it all out.
I'm a mine this coal.
Well, the boy is like he was what 17, whatever. But anyway,
whatever.
I know. I'm just
saying. Morals. He was trying to be. He was standing up for himself. He was trying to be there. For
trying
the
to
child
set a bar.
I can't ever knock that.
That's why I was saying I couldn't understand why the stepdad, a man, it didn't go down there and say, like, look,
nope.
That's enough of this. The boy is going to stay. And just lay your law. The boy put a bid down. The boy is going to stay here with his daughter. She'll be upstairs with you. He'll be down here with me. We'll alternate shifts during the time.
We can watch the game as long as they ain't boning no more.
Right. They can sit. We can all sit down here. They can sit over there with the baby and do their thing. We'll
down
watch
here in the den with us. What harm could it cause?
Exactly. He can stay the night. Look, the baby is going to be in one of their either down here with him or up
put
there with her.
Put it. Look, you get to stay down here in the den with the baby.
Yeah.
Ellie Mae, go to your room. I'm going to take this here baby monitor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this baby monitor and put it in here with him and the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Hear any moans and groans, I wouldn't shoot off no knuckle children if I was you. I might get that mistaken.
Exactly.
Come down here and break your neck.
That's it.
There you go.
Look, my thing, you get one chance. You get one chance. And if you screw that up, then don't come to me again with your
right.
pleas. You've
right.
already blew the chance I gave you. If you really want to see your daughter, cool. Here's your opportunity.
818-514-1202. That's the number. We're talking about raising the bar. We're talking about setting standards and not just music. Because I know the last two shows we went off on music and television. Now we're doing more life problem,
yeah.
life situations.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into more news items and stuff in a minute.
Absolutely.
But Dad, chump. Dad's a chump.
He was. I think he...
You don't... I see a young man trying to do... Hey, man, he's trying. He's young. And you said, I give you one chance. I'd say that. But in my mind,
yeah.
he's going to make a mistake. He's going to make a mistake.
But by a chance, I mean, look.
And right.
Are you expecting? If you woke up, and not if you woke up, if it's a late, man, I can go for a Yoo-hoo right now. And you go down there, and they're laid up. Not doing nothing. They're laid up.
If they're laid up, if they're laying on the floor, baby in the bassinet, they're laying on the floor, television's on. He's asleep. She's laid in his lap. And he's got his shorts on. And she got her pajama bottoms on. I'm cool. Look,
okay.
The train's left the station.
True indeed.
Baby's there. They're
right.
together.
Right.
As long as he ain't laying there, shorts on, schlong half out, and she laying there, dry stuff is on her cheek, I'm cool. I'm being for real.
All right.
That train's left the station.
Yes.
She's 16 and pregnant. He's trying to do what's right.
Okay.
I would have been, it's my fault for leaving these fools down there.
There you go.
I'll be honest. But, hey, Ellie Mae, back up here. Nope, you sleep with us by the dog.
Indeed. And that was my point with it. But I had to get to a point of
how
like,
far does that go? How far does that go? Because at a certain point, let's say they do that. Say they do it for 2 years. He's 2 years, he's 19 now. She's 17,
18, yeah.
17, mm-hmm. and they've been taking care. They're a couple. They're taking care. The kid is 2 years old, nice, healthy kid, smart as a whip.
Mm-hmm.
They're scraping together for putting daycare together. They're both young. They're both, one of them, I'll put it on the female. The female is in community college
mm-hmm.
with a part-time job. He's full-time. At the grease mill.
At the grease mill.
Making $4.50. It's Tennessee. $4.50 an hour. It's Tennessee. They'll exploit you.
Okay, I guess.
But what I'm saying is they're scraping to get by. They're trying to be together. They're trying to be responsible. But they are a couple.
Right.
At this point, you say you stay with us because you're trying to make ends meet. We all live in Tennessee. No one's getting over.
Uh-huh.
The extra money, we all be here together
right?
at the house. And at this point, might as well let them have a room. They're a couple.
Give them a room with a door.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying
they're a couple.
Absolutely.
Especially if they're talking about getting married. We're talking about putting some tin cans together. I'm going to have the boys over there make some hooch.
There you go.
And we get some minute rice, and they getting married. At this point, what are you objecting to?
It's a great question.
At this point, what are you objecting to?
I mean, like you said, like you've
He's already said, hey, I'm about to get these two trailers.
Right.
And make a half wide and take care of my family. Do you let him do that, or do you say, hey, y'all better off getting a good start under us? And they're trying to do the right thing.
I would say
At that point, go to sleep. I don't want to hear it. Keep it down to a minimum.
Because you know it's going to happen.
That
now.
Train has left the station. It's gone.
But the thing is, you're absolutely right. The train has left the station. You don't want to have another incident like that happen again.
Boy, come on, boy. Take his ass to the CVS.
These are for you.
These are magnets. These ain't for you. See, these are for you.
These are
regular Trojans.
These are the pit-a-pat.
This are for you. You take these. You use these. We're not going to have another incident.
Are we?
There you go. Again, trains left. I'm being as progressive as possible. And I'm
You're
not saying
realist.
That.
You are
I'm
being not, a realist.
I'm trying to be pragmatic about it because this would be hard as hell for me. I'm not saying that it's just that simple.
Right.
Oh, no, I'd have some problems. But if he's trying.
Right.
The boy stood up to her mother and threatened to get a place. Why would I want to quell that spirit? I'm better off cultivating his spirit and helping him.
Guiding him into that manhood. He's already got a decent start.
If baby calls him daddy and he's sleep watching the football game and the baby sleep on his chest, why wouldn't I be proud of that? They took a negative and trying to make it a positive. Who am I to step on that?
You're absolutely right. You have very valid points of what you're saying.
And I'm not saying it's easy.
No. Nobody would say that. Nobody would say that. I mean, I didn't understand why.
Now, the boy, he's growing, too. He might have some problems. Because you come in here late one night with the boys, you got to deal with me. You mess around, catch some liquor on your breath. Mm-hmm. You're 19. Not yet, son. When you're ready, hell, I'll hand you a bottle. But you're not ready yet.
There you go.
The boy started off walking in the right direction to begin with.
Right.
I will set a higher standard. If I'm going to be with this, you got to meet my expectations. You really selling me on this. So if I'm giving you condoms and telling you continue plowing, you better beat my expectations, son.
Right. Right. Now, with that being said, do you tell him what you are expecting of him, or just let him figure it out on his own?
That's why I'm giving him condom.
Okay. I'm expecting you to not
have
another.
I bet not see a Plan B pill in here. You better not have to go to the chop shop. Do your part.
Don't worry about what she does.
Don't worry about my pops told me, don't make no baby. He didn't say, don't let her make a baby. He told you, will not. If you knock her up, that's on you. And I'm kicking your ass. That's what he told me.
That makes sense.
Don't bring no babies up in here.
Makes sense to me.
Here, Trojan man.
There you go.
This is your friend. This will protect you from babies, and it will protect you from herpes.
Both of them.
Both of them. Will protect
you. At the same time.
You're like, this is Captain America's shield.
Nice.
Shield yourself. Protect yourself. That's what he told me.
He told me,
you ready to go up in, you ready to go up in the store and buy condom? And I blushed kind of and laughed and say, no, punk, if you think you're ready, I'm be honest, you ready to fuck. Then you ready to be a man. That means you ready to walk your ass in that store, grab some condoms, Take it down to the old lady, because back then it was old ladies working the cash register. Look at that old lady, put that condom down and say, yes, I'm fucking now. Yes. He was right. If you ain't got the heart to go in there and get condoms, you're not ready to do this.
Well, then,
but then again, if you're not ready to tell your parents
that you're doing something,
hey, you know what? I'm having sex now. I'm be honest, if a daughter ain't ready to talk to her mother, right, hey, I'm ready to have sex and I think I want the pill. I think that's a great mark to set. The mother, if
that's
the daughter,
a bar,
I'm not saying that the daughter
that's
go
nice
to pop.
Bar. Yeah.
No. I wouldn't suggest that.
No.
But a daughter should be strong enough to go to her mother and say, I'm ready to bone.
But you know what's
the
crazy?
The son should be strong enough to, hey, Dad, I'm ready. Can we go get these condoms?
You know what's crazy, though? In this age of young mother, if the daughter does go to the mother, she'll be like, well, he's fine and all this other stuff.
I want him.
Yeah. It's like that will fly real smooth.
I want it.
And it's like, I don't think that's a barter set to say, Mom, I'm going to come to you and tell you, because the mom is going to say, yeah, you get him, I'm going to get his dad. It's like,
ooh, that's a little harsh.
No.
That's
because
a little harsh.
Dude, I've seen
you've
mother
seen
dad,
a mother-daughter tag team.
Yes. I've seen a mother date a dad.
That's a new one on me.
I've seen a mother date a dad, and the daughter was dating the son.
Wow.
I've seen
and that means like, you two can't get married.
They can't live in a house together. It'll be the same
I'm
scenario
just
you just laid out.
You're saying Greg and Marsha, hey, they dating. Why don't we date?
It's cute. Well, they could.
Cindy, when she's got a visitor, little Cindy, you could be next.
Keep your shorts on. But no, I mean, it's just to me, I don't think that's a nice a bar to set. I think
really?
A higher bar would be more of.
Was you strong enough to go to your dad and say, "I'm ready for these condoms"?
No,
and I think it's a good bar.
I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't strong
you
enough.
You didn't do it, but would you tell your son to do it to you? Don't
I
you
would
think he should be able to say, "Dad"? Yeah,
I would
I
want
ready.
Him to, but it's like it's a. See, the way I did it was, and it's crazy, it's just, I just did it. It was no time to, you know, to let them know what was happening. It was a shock to me that it was happening. That's how it kicks off. It's never a plan.
Mine was more of an accident.
Yeah, I think it always is.
Mine was, I had this girl that I was messing around with. And it was some down low type stuff because she couldn't be known.
Tell nobody. Right.
She couldn't be known to tell no one that she was dating boys. Right.
Right.
But I had already cracked it and got her hooked on it. Right.
Right.
So she would always meet and sneak in our garage, and then I would trip off and sneak into the garage.
Yeah.
Climb into like my backseat of my mom's car, whatever. You know.
Right. Oh.
Well, one day we're eating. My dad came home late.
Right.
And he come home. He hits the garage door opener. The garage door opens, and this girl is standing in the garage.
Getting herself together.
Getting us with. No, I hadn't been in there yet.
Oh, she's getting prepared.
She's getting prepared. And
okay.
Dad came in there. Girl, take your ass home.
Right.
And he hit the door, and I'm sitting there eating. He say, boy, would you please keep your bitches out my garage? What's wrong with you, boy? God, it's cold in there. What is it? She was just calmly waiting for me to finish dinner.
Oh, wow.
That's when he was. After that, and then later on, he came down. And like, yeah, boy, we got to talk about this. Boy, you better be strapped.
That's funny. That is actually funny. See, that's what's crazy. See, mine was more of a, like I said, I didn't know because maybe I was naive at the time. I didn't know what went on beyond hugging. My brain was still on sports. Like, that's all
right.
I ever focused on.
Dunking.
That's all I ever wanted to do. So it was a girl that I guess she liked me. I didn't.
You're about to say you're lying, but I'm gonna let you finish.
No, I'm dead serious. This first one.
Don't make me buzz. You.
I think she was a senior. Bam, whatever, right? And she liked me, and I was like, okay, whatever. And my uncle, who was there,
hey, those are some nice basketball.
Yeah, that is the same uncle. It was crazy. The exact same uncle was there, and he saw her walking down the street, and I was outside just dribbling the basketball. She was coming up. He was like, I'll catch you in an hour, and he broke out. So it was like, you know, and then I swear, it just, hey, yeah, we ended up, and it just happened. It was no something building up and all. It just happened.
That you know what? We might have to have a Father's Day show. Because, you know what? And my dad knew, he kind of knew what I liked before I knew what I liked. He knew what I liked. And as far as the shape of a woman before right. I really knew.
Right. Right, right, right.
And he told me he knew we was about to go somewhere and I had to be back at a certain time so we could do this, right? So right. I'm getting back and a little girlfriend I had at the time rode me back on her bike.
Oh.
So I could get back, you know.
Nice.
And he told me later that, you know, him and mom had to have a little talk, like, I don't know what we're going to do about him. Because he says she came in, and the little girl, her name was Lori. And
you remember that?
Yeah, I remember her, yeah. And she had developed up top before anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I knew you was a up top guy.
You're the top, you like a top.
And that's
heavy.
All you've ever brought home. But it never clicked with me until way later. It didn't click with me that was how I was rolling.
Right.
Until I was like 21. Did it not register?
Hmm.
But he was like, yeah, no, they've all been.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, none of the people you ever brought home would drown.
There you go.
You just
head
like,
above water. Yeah. I get that. That's I guess you set a bar for yourself then. There it is. You got to meet said required. You must be at least this big to ride this ride.
There you go.
I got you.
That's been the requirement to hold. Yeah, you got to be this. Yeah.
I mean, we all know mine. We ain't got to keep going through that. Every last one from A to backwards.
Did you always know that, though?
I would say no. Only reason I would say no is because as a kid, you don't look at that. You only look at the front part, like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. But I would say that changed for me around 14. At 14,
really?
That was it. I knew that this is what I like.
This is where you're at. And for me, like I say, 1920 is when I really, really knew. The 19 was like the first time I went after a girl that was like ridiculously top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Was like the first I used to work with this chick at this McDonald's,
right?
And she had like trained me, and she was short. She was like 5'3", and was ridiculously heavy up top. And I was just like, yeah, I'm there. I'm relentlessly pursued that. But that was the first time I was just like, by any means necessary,
I guess
I'm getting
it.
Right. I'm going this way.
Got it.
I'm going this way, and ooh, I was more into that than I was in the backside. Backside didn't really kick in for me until 28, 29.
Wow, that's way. Woof, you waited. You missed out on a lot. But yeah. But anyway, as we digress.
Yeah.
Man, like I said, that was just something that bothered a bar that should have been set by that man about how a household to me not sounding sexist or chauvinistic. About
yeah, we went
how
in on that church thing and people just ran away.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
everybody who's listening to this and everybody who's going to be listening to this in the archives, mm-hmm. and people check us out on the archives heavy, so that's cool with me.
Yeah.
Just letting you know, we're talking about setting the bar. And just real quick, we'll be going on hiatus soon. And when we come back, there are going to be some radical changes here at Truth Brothers Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's... some things you won't believe. And hopefully we'll have, hopefully, I'm really, really hoping we'll have a huge surprise when we come back.
Big, gigantic surprise.
And I'm really hoping this pans out. It should. Yeah, I don't see a reason that it shouldn't.
The first hint you got, I know this is like the second week, if you notice, Tony Breedlove and Hot Topics Talk Radio is advertising on our show. We're doing a cross-promotion thing, and we're advertising on her show.
Yeah.
Other shows will be coming into this, too. We're building a nation.
Yeah.
We're building a family.
Yeah,
and when this
that.
Is all said and done, we're going to have a deep family of different shows where we're going to be able to cross-promote, cross-talk, and do a lot of things together.
We're trying to actually, it was one also that they were trying to get a simulcast, two shows one time that I was seeing that was somebody was getting into the works. But we'll get it, dabble into that
yeah.
a little later on.
It's
but
a
it's
lot
gonna
of
be,
stuff
it's gonna be
that's
huge.
Gonna be big changes so. Real soon. When we go on hiatus, check us out on Facebook because we'll be advertising the changes through Facebook.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, Truth Brothers Radio will be a one-stop shop for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Having that pesky problem of logging in somewhere,
we're
going to fix all of that.
Yep.
So, that's after the hiatus that will be coming up. Trust me, it's a much-needed vacation. We're putting in a lot of time here, people. You know what we go through during the week. It's draining. And shouts out to the whole team that's out there helping. And you know who you are.
That's right.
Thank you so
that's
much
right.
for doing what you do. But, again, man, let me go right back to this raising the bar. What is it that you would say is one of the things that we are – we're hindering ourselves to as far as like why we won't see growth in things beyond music,
truth.
Beyond media.
True.
That's it.
We're not searching for truth. We're not searching.
You think
for
we're not truthful with ourselves?
I think so. And I think we sink to the lowest common denominator. And I'm going specifically
why?
At the news. I'm going specifically at the news. And I'm glad you brought that up because that leads me into my next topic.
Mm-hmm.
And my next topic is Sergeant Bo Burdall.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who just was released from the Taliban in Afghanistan, the man was captured and was tortured for 5 fucking years. And I'm sorry, I'm being real here because I was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got nothing but respect for this man. And the way that the news and the way that politicians have been going at this man, going at this man's family, is disgraceful. And that's because we don't set the bar to read. We don't set the bar to know. And we don't set the bar to question when someone is serving you BS.
Very good. Continue, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just – the man – look, your president has worked for 5 years to get this man released.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got punk-ass politicians like Saxby Chambliss, punk-ass bitch.
That is.
I'm sorry.
That
this
is.
Man this man could have lost his life. John McCain, hypocrite asshole. Fox News, chump ass, 818-514-1202.
Mm-hmm.
Get at me.
Cool.
This man, they was trying to get this man released. They've been negotiating for 5 years.
Right.
The Obama administration was told by the Taliban, if this gets out early, we killing him. If you leak this, we pulling out of the deal and we offing him. They seen videos that shook them and said, we got to get him out of here quick as hell. So they released 5 Taliban fighters
right.
from yeah. Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
To trade for him. And you hear John McCain, Saxby Chambliss, Bitch McConnell, mm-hmm. and all these other right-wing asses talking about that he wasn't worth it. He deserted. You don't know what this man did.
Mm.
Is he under investigation? Yeah,
absolutely.
The military's going to have an investigation.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's guilty. We don't know what he's done. Don't know. I know this. He's an American. I'm right. throwing that up in quotes.
Right.
And he deserves his day in court. If he's going to be punished, bring his ass back here. Let's go through the facts and deal with it accordingly.
Right.
But he was a prisoner of war, and he deserved to come home.
Absolutely.
Now, here's what ticks me off. Out of all the people, and this goes back to raising the bar and having expectations of people, mm-hmm. out of all the people who had the balls to talk about this dude, John McCain, your old, withery, hypocrite ass, ain't got the right to say nothing to nobody. Your punk ass was caught in Vietnam because your punk ass can't fly a plane.
Mm-hmm.
You crashed more planes than you actually landed safely. And when you got shot down, you were flying somewhere you had no business being to begin with. This is a fact.
Thought he was going on
when
a, on
you
a route.
Was captured.
Okay, go ahead.
When your bitch ass was captured.
Uh-huh.
They tortured you a little bit. You signed papers. You got on TV. Oh, no, hell with America. We wrong, sir. Please don't rape me no more. Viet Lamese wrote that ass, and he, I'll sign these papers, and got on TV and denigrated the United States, denigrated the government that he claimed he loved so much, and was like, whatever you do, don't put these bamboo shoots in my fingernails anymore. Don't like the way they feel. I'm not knocking him. I don't know how much torture I could withstand.
Right.
I'm not knocking him. I'm not even saying that the papers that he signed and everything that he said, I know the man didn't believe it. The man was tortured. The man was like, hey, don't torture me no more. I'll say what you want.
Right.
I'm not knocking that.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hell, I would have done better. Nope. Probably two lashes in on me. Hey, give me that paper.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
Right.
But what I am saying, what I am getting at is you've got no right to denigrate this man.
Now,
you of all people have no right to denigrate this man. You should be able to identify what the hell he was going through. We'll out later.
Now, again, I didn't hear what McCain said. I didn't hear anything that McCain or what he
McCain might. Said that the president was a criminal. He felt that it was a criminal act to let this man go. He said that the man wasn't worth it.
Oh, see, I didn't.
Time Magazine. Punk asses had him on the cover saying, was he worth it? Not cool. Any of your fellow citizens caught in war, and the man wasn't drafted. Sergeant Bulldog wasn't drafted. He wasn't forced to go over there.
Right.
He volunteered to go over there. And if he had a change of heart over there, I can't say. I don't know.
Now, that's what I was
but it's not
on CNN.
For us to say. It's not for us to say if this man is a deserter, if he's a traitor. It's not for us to say. They have tribunals to figure that out. But he's an American citizen, and he should be brought back here safely. You leave no man on the battlefield if you can. It don't matter what they did. If me and you got in a firefight and you said, to hell with this, I'm gone, and took off, it's not for me to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me to – you get caught. We got to get you back. We'll talk about the rest after that. You don't know what comes out of a man's heart in a firefight.
I don't know.
What do you think? You think everybody is John Wayne? John Wayne wasn't John Wayne. Let's get something straight. John Wayne didn't fight in the war. John Wayne didn't fight in World War II. John Wayne didn't fight in Korea.
Wait a minute.
John Wayne made movies about the shit, but John Wayne didn't lift a... Hey, man, they shooting. No.
So you telling me that... Okay, because I'm that's nasty. Again, I might be catching this...
818-514-1202.
I might be catching this the wrong way. Okay. The story I seen on CNN, I was at Popeye's.
Getting the two-piece.
Cause I'm loving it,
right?
And I was sitting there, and oh, that was crazy. I'm sitting there, and I'm getting my chicken, and I'm looking on CNN. They show a video of the sergeant coming out and like seeing light for the first time, and it's like his eyes is like flickering,
mm-hmm.
and then they have him dressed in Saudi. What was it? I don't want to say Saudi Arabia.
They had
attire.
Him dressed in
custom attire, of that area,
because they're going to strip him of his uniform. That's to indignify him.
Exactly. And they also had that he was trying to learn English again. He was again. I thought. Now, see, they didn't say it was 5 years.
Yeah, it's 5 years.
They said it was three, but they were it was actually two with the negotiation of the last year. They said they were negotiating for this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know they had been negotiating for 5 years. Like, hey.
He's been captive for 5 years.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If he was captive for 6 months, that's 6 months too long.
True. I agree.
And quiet is kept. I defy anybody to tell me they last 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
I'm being honest. You don't know what the hell this man went
now,
through.
Now, Obama said that.
I know this. It's the responsibility of every American soldier when captured. It is their responsibility to do everything you can to resist, to do everything you can to defy, and to escape when possible. And the man tried to escape. Didn't sound like a deserter to me. Didn't sound like a traitor to me. He tried to get away. They caught him, beat the hell out of him, and kept him in a cage from there on out.
Mm.
So he said, I got to get the hell away from them. Why do you think he did that? Because they was torturing him, and he was a prisoner.
Yeah.
Every American is supposed to be able to come home in dignity. Not to be able to come home. This man is what, I think he's in Germany right now. And they're slowly trying to integrate him back into society. Slowly.
What's the problem that they have? I know
he's psychologically scarred.
Yeah, I know that. I'm trying to figure out, like,
his mind is psychologically destroyed.
You just
can't, hey, he's back. No, that's TV.
No, I know that because they said that they canceled a big homecoming party they had for him. His family was having for him.
Yes, because
he's not ready. I know
he's not ready. His brain is fried. We got to get him correct. But just think about him laying in a bed in a military hospital right now and to see Fox News call him a traitor, call his family a traitor. His family is getting death threats.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling them traitors and hypocrites. And that's wrong.
It is.
Well, you swear we're all Americans. I'm smart enough not to believe that. I know I'm not an American. But this gentleman thought he was an American. Hell, I thought he was an American.
I would have guessed he was.
But the way they this is the question you have to ask yourself. If they would do this to him, a young American Caucasian, imagine what they would do to one of the Truth Brothers.
Yeah.
America, Fox News, the Tea Party would have no problem slashing us to pieces if we was over there, because we're not even considered Americans. And to top it all off, they're only doing this because your president is black. Now, why is he saying that, you might ask? Let's look at it like this. Last week, the Obama administration had a briefing,
right,
to let the members of Congress who swore, you should have let us know, to fill them in on the details. Saxby Chambliss, Republican from Georgia, the ranking member of the Committee on Intelligence, walked out of the meeting midway. Why did he walk out of the meeting? So he could get on Fox News and trash the president. Forget the briefing. We really don't care.
Right.
John McCain walked out. Then told the press he learned nothing. Of course you didn't learn nothing. You're an idiot.
Didn't stay there long enough to learn nothing. But go ahead.
Paul Rand. Or Rand Paul, whatever.
Yeah.
This punk didn't even make it. But you had no problems getting on television
and raking the president over the coals. At the same time, they've got it on record now. Go to Media Matters, everybody.
Mm.
Check it out. Saxby Chandler, John McCain, Rand Paul,
yeah.
All were on television blasting the president for not bringing this man home over a year ago. Said it's a disgrace that he's going to let Americans rot in Taliban prisons like that. It's disgusting. He don't care about the troops. Bring the man home. Now you brought this traitor home. You are the sickest people. You don't care about this country. You don't care about people. You use this man whose mind is mush right now for political gain is wrong. And for a dude who was a prisoner of war, do you know how John McCain got his raggedy ass home?
I didn't hear
through a prisoner exchange.
That's how his bitch ass got brought home. Okay.
Through a prisoner exchange. But that's all right because he's counting on people out there not to read. He's counting on you not to care. He's counting on you to just look at TV and accept whatever the TV tells you. He's counting on that.
Where's the man originally from? Now, that I didn't hear.
Who?
Sorry.
I think he's from Idaho. I want to say Idaho.
Okay. Because, again, like I said, I tried through all of everything I had going, I tried to get as much information as I could. I found most of it on CNN, of course, and then I found the rest of it through some Huffington Post, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
whatever.
You got people on Fox News like Brian Kilmeade called him a traitor. Brian Kilmeade, who ain't picked up a rifle and done anything, got the heart to call somebody who fought over there a traitor.
So now, okay, maybe you have more information on it than I do. What actually happened that led to his capture?
The details are sketchy and murky.
Oh, well,
you had some people who jumped right on the TV and said that he deserted. And then you've got some people who said that's not the case at all. Some people said that he went out and stepped outside of the base and took a walk and said that he liked enjoying watching the sunrise and said that he disappeared. Could be. Maybe he deserted. I did hear that he was getting disenchanted with the war. He's been over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me to say. If he got disenchanted, it's not for me to call him a traitor, because if I was over there
mm-hmm.
and was getting shot at on the constant, maybe I would get disenchanted too. Don't know. But just because you're disenchanted doesn't make you a traitor.
Yeah, absolutely.
John McCain got disenchanted. Doesn't make him a traitor. John Kerry got disenchanted. Doesn't make him a traitor. There's been many of people who fought in a war and got disenchanted. Doesn't make them a traitor.
True.
So just because if he had different feelings, if he started to seem different, maybe, I don't know, I wasn't there. That don't mean the man didn't deserve to come home. You got punk asses on Fox News who called him a traitor and a sissy because he does ballet. Really?
That's actually really funny.
Really? One of the best receivers in NFL history, Lynn Swann, did ballet.
So did the best basketball player on the planet, Michael Jordan. They didn't know.
So
that.
Kiss my ass, basically, is where I'm getting at with that one.
It's funny to me though. Like, this is the country where it's you care so much about the children and the youth and our soldiers and the pride.
Quick to wrap yourself up in that flag.
And yeah,
quick
like
to do it.
Like, you care so much about our soldiers. You got videos showing that when they come on the airports from long duties in Iraq, you just clapping for them and
let's
all.
Let's buy a yellow ribbon and put it on a tree.
Yeah,
we care. See,
and
but guess
now,
what? I'm sorry. I don't. Not, this pisses me off though.
I'm sure, but go ahead.
But Saxby Chandler, John McCain, Rand Paul. All slash veterans benefits. All of them voted to slash veterans' benefits. All of them.
In lieu of what?
Cutting the budget. So they don't need that much money.
Is that why they're coming out with this higher vet thing that's been promotion that's been going around for so long?
No, I think that's
higher vet,
President
higher smart.
Obama's. That's been going on for a minute. No.
Yeah, I just
but they all voted to cut the Veterans Administration and help and not help veterans. See, we love you when you go kill for oil. We love you when you go oppress so we can do what we want to do. But when
right.
you come back, first of all, if you served in the military, you should come back. You should be the first in line for any job. The benefits should be great. Anybody who served in the military, I believe we should give them a house. Forget a VA loan. We should be building houses for them. It should be benefits up the wazoo for anybody who put that uniform on and went out there and stomped hard in your name. And I'm throwing that up in quotes as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who comes out of the... If you come out of the military and you can't get a job, that's a travesty.
Indeed.
A travesty.
I agree with you. I totally agree.
Everybody who go in the military should have free schooling, just outright. Forget a GI Bill. The schooling should be free, period. Housing should be free, period. For what anybody who did three tours in Iraq shouldn't have a problem. Shouldn't have a problem. But once you get back here, we don't care about you no more.
Mm.
We'll front.
And that's
we'll
what
front.
I was leading to. That's exactly what I was leading to about what I was saying about the country and how they would have these big, overly outrageous memorials for the guys who come back and they cheering and they show these old, beautiful Budweiser commercial where the
yes.
one dude was getting off and they had him in the thing and blah, blah, blah. And it's all right. Yeah, no house for you, though, so we
no
don't know
house,
what to tell
no
you.
No job. Good luck with that. Thank you. Oh, you kind of shaky from being over there three times? You'll figure it out.
Sleep in the barn. And they give them that, and it's like,
we should be putting together stimulus packages in this country and putting people to work, and veterans should be at the head of the line.
Yes.
At the head of the line. These guys should not be struggling like they are. Nobody.
I don't understand how they don't have at least the minimum of health benefits. That's the thing that, I mean, of course housing is important, but they're coming here without health benefits. Like, that was the thing that got me. I'm like, when I was like, I'm sitting there watching about one guy who...
Listen, do you know why they're trying to fix the scandal at the VA right now with the long wait times and the separate secret lists?
Nah.
They're trying to fix all of that because no one wants it to come out that how bad they done slashed the veterans' budget. No one wants to know, so they're going to hurry up and get that fixed real quick. Real
wow.
quick.
Well, what are they trying to implement in there?
I want to say John McCain and... Oh, God. Oh, man. The other dude name escapes me right now. But they just came up with a deal in the Senate for a budget for Veterans Affairs. And now it's got to go over to the House of Representatives and see. But Democrats and Republicans say they both didn't get what they want, which is supposed to be a signal that the thing should be pretty fair. Because each side is upset with it. So whatever. Take it for what it's worth.
We'll see.
But to sit there and slander a man who, again, I don't know what the man's done. And this is Truth Brothers Radio. We tell the truth here. I never heard of the dude until 2 weeks ago.
Superly on the raps.
Yeah. So that got nothing against the man. I'm glad the man's home.
Sort of. He's in Germany. He's free.
Well, he'll
from
be
Georgia,
home. But they
yeah.
got. I mean, he's back. In the hands of people who's going to look out for him, let's hope.
Right.
He's out of the Taliban hands.
Yeah. Now, my last question was, was it three or five?
Five.
The five, I heard, okay, never mind.
Five Taliban.
The five that they released.
Yes. They were, some of them supposed to be be some sort of semi-high level officials. I really don't care. We've got the capability to drone these dudes at, and if you don't think that they've implanted a microchip in their asses, you're crazy.
Oh yeah.
They put a chip in their ass and I'm sure they got 5 missiles just waiting.
Or the chip blows whenever.
I catch you going anywhere near the battlefield, drone time.
Or
do you really care about these 5? I'm not losing any sleep about these 5. Again, you hear, we're going to go a little bit over. You hear terrorism, they're going to release terrorists. I don't give 2 damns about a terrorist. This isn't Cobra. This isn't this super secret organization that just got the capability to just make your life miserable.
Right, right.
They're dudes sitting in caves. And we have no problems with blowing the caves up. You wiped out whole neighborhoods trying to get one dude before. That's just 5 more times you got to do it. And I'm not saying that they deserve to die. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying what America is going to do anyway.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
they're going to get drones.
I was telling a friend of mine that if you don't think that they had a plan, like, yeah, we're going to let them go, but we have a plan
right.
in case something goes wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't plant explosives up their butt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If these dudes get anywhere near it, we'll just press the button and blow them up.
I just said, I'm
being partially funny, but it ain't beyond that. They ain't that far beyond the pale.
Nah, I was saying that they actually was like, okay, you know what? Once he's cool and he can go back, press the button. That's what you know the button to press. Hit it.
Right.
So
we're going to send you to Qatar.
Yeah.
If you leave Qatar, boom goes the dynamite.
And that bees peace.
I'm not worried about some terrorist in Guantanamo Bay. I'm not worried about him.
No, you shouldn't
these
be.
Remember when he wanted to put them in maximum security prisons in America and everybody freaked out? Not here. Not here. Bring them here. I don't care. More worried about Jeff Ford than I am about anybody in the Taliban.
That's what I was about to say. I don't go to the ATM worried about the Taliban over my shoulder.
Okay.
I'm looking for knockers. That's to be real with you. Call me wrong. I'm not worried about no dude.
Not worried about it.
In the Taliban when I
go
to the ATM.
Not worried about it. And if you're really worried about it, I'm going to call you a hypocrite and a liar because you have no problems going to Baba's for that delicious steak and lemonade. You have no, you break your neck.
What about those fake Jordans you
yep.
love so much?
No, hey, buddy.
I got five.
Let's screw Michael Jordan. No problem.
Got five.
You go to, what is it, Dress to Impress? You have no, got your sister up in there in a mini skirt and breast half out, but all you want is one of them club suits. No problem, right?
Yep. Got to get my slow buck.
Have no problems going to the liquor store.
They give it to you and laugh at
your face. I need some Grey Goose.
And some Grape Swisher Sweets.
you are not worried. Any one of them dudes could have been fresh from Guantanamo. You don't care.
Nope.
Dude is sitting there making your cheese steak. And you don't care. He could have been beat every day in Guantanamo. You don't even think about it. Doesn't even cross your mind.
Could be a member of the Taliban here. Yeah.
And you think we're playing. Was there not a scandal about 5 years ago in Chicago about some of these stores ran by Arabs where they were taking link cards and cashing them in for cash or giving you a trade-in for the money, and half of the money was being funded to terrorism?
See, I didn't know if it was like that, but I
yeah, they funneled, they traced some of the money back to terrorist organizations.
Here you go.
They was you could use your purple platinum like an ATM with them.
They give you.
They want to say, I want them out of my neighborhood now. No. Everybody said, well, they bought all the J&Js. What are we going to do?
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
But
set the standard.
That's all. Yeah. That's, I think it.
We didn't go in on music.
We did.
We didn't go in on TV.
Shows, media, nothing like. Well, we went in on media. But I think if you gotta make. Here's my opinion of it. You have to then want to believe that you want more, or you want better. If you don't, and you keep accepting things the way they are, you're not going to get a change. You're going to keep getting what you're getting now. Yeah. You're going to keep getting bull. You're going to keep getting head news on Channel 7 as Kim Ye's wedding, or you're going to keep getting Beyonce and Jay-Z fighting. That's your news.
Yeah.
Who's pregnant? That's your news. You came from your Walter Cronkites and your Barbara Walters, who's retiring, and I love her. I watched the old, and this is crazy, but I got to get into this. I watched an old journalist interview with Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm.
This was before when she actually interviewed Lucille Ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, they was kind of like getting on her because all they're going to do is talk about the her and I Love Lucy. When she did so much, got so deep into her marriage to the other comic that she wound up marrying later on in life. It's amazing. It takes true skill to be a journalist. It mm-hmm. takes true skill and talent to be a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking now at what I see on news in the mornings, or there's no more 60 Minutes. There's no more times like that. It's like I look at the news now, and they will literally give you crash, crash, 45 minutes of entertainment news, one crash.
Yep.
Nothing political.
Kanye touched Kim's breast, lucky sucker.
Yeah.
Film at 11. One of our favorite shows is The Soup.
Yeah.
Why do we like The Soup? Because The Soup goes in hard on these organizations that make a big deal out of crap.
Exactly.
He goes in on it. That's our dream job.
Yeah.
That if we got to host The Soup, that would be our career would have apex. Because they go in on stupidity.
I remember one episode of The Soup where they was talking about deodorant. And they went in and was like, really, are we sitting here? Let's not worry, because he even said, let's not worry about the girls who were just drug out of their schools in Nigeria. Let's talk about how deodorant and how there are different smells to them.
Yep.
And that it was like,
yep.
And I said it like, I was sitting there like, got a point. It's amazing how it took so long for the 270 girls to even hit the news stations.
Dig that.
Your news.
Dig that.
Why do you believe your news is only entertainment? That's a question I want to ask.
Name a real journalist today. You can't. You can't.
Yeah,
you can name an old school dude.
You can't.
But there used to be news used to enlighten you.
Yeah.
News used to mess your head up, make you think. When I was a shorty, dude, I was 11, 12, 13 years old, seriously.
Mm.
And one of my favorite shows was 2020 with a man called Hugh Downs, and Barbara Walters was his co-host. But Hugh Downs was a bona fide journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't F around, brought it to you real.
Took his job seriously.
Brought it to you real. And now people like The Daily Show as a source of information, because even though they do have comedy, they try to bring it to you real.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. That's a shame.
Because like you said, I mean 2020 still comes on.
It's not the same.
It's not the
Go
same.
Go on YouTube and put up 2020 1970s and watch what you see.
And it's amazing because with the whim of technology that we have at our fingertips, that I can sit here on my phone and find out what's going on in Korea right now. I don't have to wait for 2020.
Yep.
I don't have to do all of that.
Yep.
But we'd rather spend this time trying to kill King Koopa and rescue the princess.
There you go.
It's amazing to me. It's like, who is that? Ooh, I can't think of his name. Gutenberg? Is he the print press? Is it Gutenberg?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I was thinking about who invented the printed press. I think it was Gutenberg.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But brain escapes me for a second. But it's like they had books that they couldn't get a book, once every 90 days or
mm-hmm.
was it longer than years?
Mm-hmm.
You get a new web page every 30 seconds.
Dig that.
There
was people, look, at one point in this country, they were willing to kill you for learning how to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think that means about reading and gathering information?
Knowing and storing that information.
Forget knowledge is power. Information is power. Knowing makes you stronger. They were willing to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
If you learned how to read, because reading exposes you to thinking, exposes you to information, and helps form thoughts. You can read something and totally disagree with it. You're talking about the pastor. They listened to what he said, and they had some disagreements. So they formed their own ideas based on what he said. We heard what he said, formed some ideas, and agreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
The debate went on based on the gathering of information.
And
they were willing to kill you for learning how to read. Then when they let you learn how to read, the first thing they gave you was the Bible. Your enemy isn't going to give you something
mm-hmm.
to help you.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing they gave you was the Bible.
Read this, and we're going to help you get
not a history book, not a science book, the Bible. And you cling to it and think that that's the be-all, end-all.
And that's something that bothers me. That's something that requires some type of thinking of its own. Why? Why the minute they let you read, you think the minute they say, okay, he can read, we're going to give them something to help them out, as in knowledge of themselves. They took your knowledge of yourself and said, oh, no, this is for us. You can have this.
Have you ever noticed how they go out of their way to silence either through bullets or buying people out or corrupting them or scandalizing
mm-hmm.
them or slighting them, intellect, thinkers. They go out of their way to corrupt and degrade thinkers. But the dumb people, no one has ever went after Chris Brown. There's people who go after Neil deGrasse Tyson for
mm-hmm.
Cosmos.
And I don't get that. That's another dumb thing. And that show, what's crazy, they're going to cancel that show. They're going to cancel it.
Well, it's only a limited series.
I know, but it's
just... it's okay. It's all right.
It's
out there now.
It's a shame because,
again, you're talking about raising the bar. I want to ask everybody out there something. And it's just us talking to the... basically the empty room now, but that's fine. People are going to get this afterwards and pass
so they
around.
Can think.
Yes. How many parents, fathers, mothers, how many parents have sat their children down and had them watch Cosmos? Black parents can sit their kids down and see a black scientist unravel the universe to you and your children. And nobody finds that amazing. Nobody finds that worth watching. But boy, did we care about Kim and Kanye.
Gotta get it.
I don't care about Kim and Kanye.
It's not about
hating him because I don't hate him. I'm happy for him. We've said it before. I actually think that they're going to actually make it. I do. I actually think that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to actually make it. But whether they do or not, I don't care. Cosmos is more important.
Absolutely.
Your son can watch a black man who ain't got a tricked out car, who ain't got a pimped out suit, who ain't got processed hair, sit down and explain to you why nothing can move faster than the speed of light. Some people don't think that's important. And that means everything.
What a way.
Just something to think about.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Something to think about. Well, we've done it again. We've destroyed another totally good 2 hours.
Two and a quarter.
Two and a quarter, right.
There you go.
But we thank y'all for joining us. We thank y'all. Everybody who's listening to this show, I ask you to do me a favor. Pass the show around. Introduce a friend to Truth Brothers Radio. We'll be going on vacation soon, and when we come back, we're going to make it as easy as ever to get hooked up with the Truth Brothers. Now, I know we're going to say this has been a G-Network presentation. If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace, y'all.
Two fingers.
Don't sweat the technique.